This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Or older with a valid CDL, join UPS. Now hiring full-time road drivers in Portland. Apply at UPSjobs.com.
The home of the herd with Colin Cowherd is KFXX KWJJ HD2 Portland.
Ripped, long off the tee, in shape, aggressive.
1080 The Fan,
a radio.com sports station.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a lane! Wow! Touchdown! What an athlete!
The inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, the Oregon Live and Oregonian recruiting expert players, coaches, and fans follow.
Ooh-wee.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. Packed show today. I want to get to and then move on from five-star Florida transfer cornerback Chris Steele. He announces he's transferring from Florida, commits to Oregon, and then flips to USC. I wrote a story that I had a source Tuesday? Was that Tuesday? This has been a long week. Tuesday, that he was planning on going to USC, and then he did an interview with The Athletic, formerly the Oregonians, Tyson Alger, confirming that report, talking about why he chose to flip to USC. We also have Keith Brown, the class of 2021 linebacker out of Lebanon. 2021 sounds like a long time, but those kids are already being recruited hard. And Keith Brown is the number five linebacker in the nation. The number five middle linebacker in the nation. I asked him, who do you like better right now, Oregon or Oregon State? He had a really interesting answer. And not only that, but he broke down the different approaches of Oregon and Oregon State. I think it's really, really interesting. He talks about why he likes each one and which one he prefers. And then we got to talk about Oregon basketball, because they got a basketball transfer. Anthony Mathis, the West Lynn guard, entered the transfer portal on Monday. Got a chance to talk to him right after that happened, and he named Oregon his leader. Said, I haven't even talked to Oregon yet, but they're my leader. On Wednesday, he visited and, of course, committed. But first, we got to get to Chris Steele. Chris Steele's recruitment is the strangest, I think the strangest recruitment. The only other recruitment I can compare it to in terms of strangeness is Brew McCoy, another kid who's now at USC. Brew McCoy committed and enrolled early at USC, left after a couple weeks, enrolled at Texas, and is now transferring back to USC. Chris Steele was silently committed to, and there's a video on 24/7 Sports of him laying out all the different places he was either committed to or silently committed to. And seriously, over the course of his whole recruitment, it was like six, seven, or eight different schools. Now, that's not even counting the number of times he recommitted back to them. I think he had 9 or 10 different commitments during his recruitment. Just crazy. So he committed to Florida in January at the Army All-American Bowl. Or excuse me, it wasn't the Army All-American Bowl anymore. It's the Adidas All-American Bowl. So he committed on national television. And the announcer kind of casually threw out Oregon was his number two choice. And that was not my understanding of his recruitment at the time. So that was a surprise. I put that in a story, that Oregon was number two, because I had always thought it would be USC. Goes to Florida. His roommate allegedly committed two sexual assaults in the same night. Chris Steele was around the situation. I don't know exactly how close he was at the event that he was at, whether it was a party or just guys hanging out. He was there, felt uncomfortable. He'd already asked for a room change. It was not granted by Florida. And then after that happened, the reason he wanted a room change was he wasn't comfortable with his roommate. Then after his roommate allegedly commits those two sexual assaults, he says, I want out of here. Decides to transfer. Florida tries to keep him. And within a week, he commits to Oregon. And the writing was kind of on the wall there, only because, and I tweeted this at the time, only because a USC reporter said USC's full. Now, Oregon was full on their scholarship allotment, but kids can always leave. USC was actually full at the time in a different way. You can only take 25 kids in a recruiting class. And you can play with the numbers. Early enrollees can count towards the previous class. You can gray shirt kids. There are different ways to work around that 25. But once you're up against 25, you cannot take a 26th. And USC was at 25. So once that was out there, USC was no longer even an option at that time. So then it seemed like a slam dunk. And sure enough, Chris Steele announces he's committed to Oregon. Visits Oregon, signed paperwork with Oregon. Oregon paid for his visit for his parents to come up to Oregon. As I understand it, he had an apartment situation. I believe he signed his lease. At the very least, he had a move-in arrangement figured out. He'd move some of his stuff to Oregon. And then when final grades came out for the kids that were committed to USC, there was a USC player who didn't qualify academically, which dropped them back down to 24. Chris Steele, now seeing a new option, visits USC on Monday. I make a couple of calls on Tuesday and get, yeah, it's done. He's going to USC. It is done. And I normally like to do two sources on that. I only needed one because of the source that it was. It was an extremely well-placed source, and I went, there's no way this is wrong. There were a lot of details in that at the time that they knew way too much information for it not to be accurate. So I went ahead and wrote the story that Chris Steele was for sure going to USC. And then again, on Wednesday, he does an interview with Tyson Alger saying, I'm going to USC. Recruiting is a really frustrating thing to cover. I at times I'm covering the whims of 16, 17, and 18-year-olds, but I don't know if they get more difficult to cover or difficult to predict than Chris Steele. You look at, you know, people put in crystal ball predictions on 24/7 sports. How do you figure out who was right with that? Do you give points to people who picked Florida because he enrolled there? Do you give people points to Oregon because he signed paperwork to go to Oregon? Or do you just give credit to people who picked USC, or do you just erase him from things? I don't know how to describe how this all played out. Chris Steele, I think probably if USC was at 24 when he first announced that he wanted to transfer from Florida, I think he just would have gone to USC. And I know he kind of denied that in the interview with Tyson and then kind of circled back and said, well, one thing is I thought USC was full. I think he would have just gone to USC if they weren't full. But when they were, that made it left a clear path to Oregon. Oregon was in there for a long time because of his relationship with Dante Williams. Now we've got to wonder, because Chris Steele says, well, the reason I went to USC is because my mom's losing her job on June 16th. I don't know what to believe. I don't know whether, and I hate saying this, because we had Brenda Tracy to talk about what it could mean if players leave schools over sexual assaults and programs not handling. I don't know. If he left Florida on his own, he didn't really want to be at Florida, and the allegations of sexual assault from his roommate became a convenient excuse. It became a sympathetic way for him to leave, and then his mom losing his job is a sympathetic way for him to dip out of his commitment from Oregon. But I do know that if you're looking at the path for him to play immediately, you just need a good reason to leave Florida. There was no coaching change. That's a really good reason. And that's the kind of reason that, again, and I said this at the time, he should be immediately eligible at Oregon because his reasoning is strong and it makes the NCAA look bad. Once that was off the table and he was committed to Oregon and signed paperwork with Oregon, the only remaining way for him to argue that he should be immediately eligible after essentially transferring twice, and I don't know exactly how the NCAA is going to splice that up because he didn't technically enroll at Oregon, but he did sign the paperwork. The only remaining option for him was to claim financial hardship, and that is an avenue you can get to being immediately eligible, that you transferred because of a financial hardship. He'd already played I don't know any other way to say this. He'd already played the card of a tough situation at his school. And sometimes that's a coaching change, and sometimes that's off-the-field stuff, and he said it was off-the-field stuff. And I have no choice but to believe him at this point. Now he says it's a financial hardship, and again, that was really the only card he could play left to have any argument that he should be eligible this season. And I based on the NCAA's rules, it was the only remaining avenue he had to make any type of legitimate argument. Is that convenience? Did his mom really get laid off? Or is this just the best path to playing right away? At this point, I don't know. And I don't think anybody's really going to know. I think it's possible that she isn't going to have a job after June 16th. I also think it's possible that Chris was uncomfortable with his rooming situation at Florida. But I don't know if those are the only real reasons that he left Florida and Oregon. I have a hard time believing that at this point. When you're committed, again, I know he was committed to 6, 7, or 8 different programs, but when you're committed 10 different times, at times silently committed to a couple different schools at once, I think it becomes really, really hard to take your word for it. And I think we're looking at a situation that is about as ugly, Marcus, about as ugly a situation as we've ever seen on the recruiting trail. I mean, leaving because of allegations of sexual assault, then leaving Oregon and saying it's because your mom's getting laid off. And based on your recruitment, so many things have gone awry that now people can kind of publicly say, I don't know what to believe anymore. That's an ugly situation.
It is, because everyone is obviously going to have their opinion and think kind of what they want to think. Obviously, because like I said, we won't know. And you're right, we don't know. We don't know what the true reason is. But, and I don't want to say it in a bad way. It's not a good look, right, in a way, if that makes sense, if you see where I'm coming from, Andrew, just because just kind of the way it all unfolded, I certainly get the Florida thing, right? I 100%. I remember we said this a couple weeks ago on the show. I was just like, man, that's a big move for that kid, right? He did the right thing. But then everything after that, I don't know, right? And I understand it's family first, everything like that. I just really don't understand, because I don't even know recruiting anymore. The transfer portal is like a NBA free agency now. It's so hard to, even with that Brew McCoy stuff, I don't understand how kids can leave, go someplace, stay there for a couple months, decide to leave.
We've got to create some different guidelines. I think there needs to be something that you can't transfer twice in a 6-month period or something. You look at, and this hasn't been a big deal locally. It hasn't been talked about a ton, but West Virginia's top three safeties have all announced their plans to transfer. They all announced plans to transfer in a 36-hour window earlier this week. It's been a couple days now. But three guys, including an all-conference guy, announced they're going to transfer in a 36-hour window. What are you supposed to do with that in June? Yeah. I don't know what you do as a football staff. I don't know. I mean, Oregon isn't poised to handle it. Oregon State, I can't imagine handling. Imagine if your top three guys at any position just suddenly in 2 days say we're leaving. And not only that, could potentially go to an in-conference team and play right away. I don't know how you prepare for that. I get giving players more room and giving them more power. They deserve more power, and I think players should honestly get paid. That's a discussion for another time. But I do think we need to do something with this. If you're an early enrollee, you didn't have to enroll early. You chose to enroll early. So I get it if a coach leaves wanting to transfer once. I don't think you can transfer twice. I don't think you can fill out paperwork at three different schools. We have to curb this, because if this becomes what you can do, you can early enroll at a school, go through winter workouts, transfer, go through spring practice with another school, and transfer. And you say, well, that's absurd. It happened. That's what happened with Brew McCoy. That's what looked like it was going to happen potentially with Chris Steele, who went through winter workouts, spring practice with Florida, then was going to go to Oregon, signed paperwork, visited Oregon, got his apartment situation figured out, got his housing situation, I should say, figured out, and is now going to USC and could potentially play this fall for USC against Oregon. We've got to do something to change it. There has to be rules in place, because it's too open. You're right. It's gone too far. And I get, you're a graduate transfer, you want to play right away. I'm okay with that. I honestly am. You graduate, you get an opportunity to go somewhere else. I'm fine with it. You did the right things in the classroom. Do I always think it's used properly? No. But I also get it. And at some point you got to say, hey, you got to let these players go if they want to go. We can't control their movements. They're people. But I do think the NCAA should create some guidelines to say, we're not doing this twice. If you're an early enrollee and you start spring practice with a school, you can't transfer from that school once spring practice starts and then end up somewhere else in the fall and be eligible right away. They've got to put something in place.
Yeah. That Brew McCoy stuff that's unreal to me. That's so hard for me to understand, because, you know, maybe I'm just old school with the way I think of college football, because when I played, it was always commitment, right? Don't get me wrong. Oregon State, my first couple seasons, we were good. We were, you know, at one point ranked and everything like that. But towards the end of my career, we were bad. Like, we were really bad. Like, one of the worst teams in the country. And even then, I didn't decide, okay, I'm just going to transfer because we suck. It's just, you know, it's just the fact that I think it's hit a point where everyone is like, okay, if the situation isn't exactly how I want it, then I'm going to leave, right? And everyone has different scenarios and different stories. Like Chris Steele, right, at Florida, like I said, that's a great reason, right? He did the right thing there. But I'm saying, like, someone like Brew McCoy, and I don't know the insides of his and everything like
that. But you're right. I mean, Brew McCoy, obviously the reasons weren't bad enough that 3 months later after being at Texas goes, actually, USC wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
We have to get rid of that.
Oh, absolutely.
If you transfer from a school, you cannot go somewhere else, start school go there for a semester, and then come back. We can't have that.
Yeah, how do you think the players or the coaches feel too, right? They're like,
at USC
when he comes
or
back.
Texas. Yeah, it's like, what are you doing?
Especially at USC, they're going to be like, what are you doing here? Like, go back to Texas. We don't want you. Like, you're trying to hold yourself to this like standard that you're better than us because you think you can just leave somewhere, come back. I know if one of my teammates said that, none of us would want them back because that just shows that he's not committed. And basically, if he doesn't get what he wants, he's going to leave.
Keith Brown is the nation's number 5 inside linebacker in the class of 2021. He's got some really, really special things on the horizon. One of 5 players in the entire country to get invited to the Rivals 5-Star Challenge Camp. It is an absolute forum. It is a stage for him to potentially earn a 5th star, and he's an Oregon kid. We talk to him about the Ducks, the Beavers, and his recruitment next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
From 5 stars to unknown prospects, we cover them all. From Oregon Live, this is Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
Joining me now, it's Lebanon 4-star linebacker Keith Brown, the nation's number 5 inside linebacker in the class of 2021. Keith, it wasn't that long ago that you and I talked and you were like, I can't wait to be on the big stage and I can't wait to show out at Crescent Valley. Now you're playing in Cowboy Stadium, you're going to Atlanta. How much has your football life changed in the last year?
Oh, man, it's been... This last 5-6 months, this last year has been so amazing, especially, you know, because at first I was just hoping I'd play for varsity because I didn't even know at the time, and then I ended up playing varsity, and then I played CD, and then I got my first offer, and then I got my second, third, fourth, fifth, now 8, and it's been crazy now that I always knew, like, I went to a few camps and stuff, and I would do good at them, and then once I started, like, dominating the camps, that's just when stuff really started making sense to me and started clicking. Since then, it's just been crazy.
You got an invitation to the All-American Bowl Underclassmen Combine, which is in January. It's a big one in San Antonio for all the top prospects in the country. And 24/7 Sports and Rivals both tabbed you as kind of like the breakout guy. Now you were one of the top performers, but some of the other top performers were kind of known commodities already.
Yeah,
they both kind of pegged you as the guy that really stood out, and that seemed to kind of open the floodgates for you going into that event. Did you know that if you put up a good performance that it would go that way? And then once you did you know, oh my gosh, things are really going to change for me?
So going into the event, you know, I knew I had a feeling I was going to do really good there because I just got done with FBU, dominated there, Top Gun, dominated there. And then rolling into the combine, I wasn't exactly sure what could happen from it. I just knew that it was a pretty big event because it's like this national thing, only certain kids get invited. And then so kind of after that, when everything started, like I knew after I did good, 247 made my account, and they kind of pulled me off to the side, interviewed me a bunch. That's when I knew my stock or all that was going to rise for sure.
Since then, you went to a camp up in Washington. This was just a couple weeks ago, and you've picked up offers from Oregon and Oregon State. Oregon State was your first one, but you have 6, 7, 8 offers now. But you were at a camp up in Washington, and my phone started blowing up with text messages. I got a phone call, and it was like, who is this kid from Lebanon? Is this just a monster performance, or is he the real deal? And I was like, yeah, no, he's legit. He's really good. And then it started the ball rolling where I realized kind of what was going to happen from that. And then I waited, and I told your mom, I'm hearing from a lot of people, and she asked me, who are you hearing from? And I couldn't tell her. The next day, you guys learned exactly who I was hearing from. What happened then the next day for you after that big showcase event?
Oh, so that showcase was great. When I first got there, you know, like usually as events, so no one really knows who I am just yet. But now that I'm on the boards and everyone knows me, now it's like a little more. I have a little more like known to me. But
you got some clout to you, man. You got some clout.
Yeah, I got a little juice now. It's cool. going into this event, you know, I actually wasn't gonna go. Like I didn't want to go to FBU this year. I don't know why. I just thought I kind of want to chill this weekend. But my friend was going. Really wanted him a national combat invite, which he did. And so I was like, yeah, I'll just go run out with you for a little bit. I was going to visit UW while I was there. So I go there and I realize, oh crap, Eric Richards is here. And then G Scott, his little brother, was there. Aiden Hector, Julian Simon. I was like, I got to come out here and ball out now. And so then day two comes around and Eric's been talking to me day one a bunch. And then day two, he talks to me. And then he calls me and my mom into the gym. And he puts me on the phone with the head of Adidas football, Shannon Ferbracci, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they invite me down to Atlanta for the 5-star challenge. That's when I was like, okay, now I got some. Now I'm finally being really recognized for my talent.
The 5-star challenge, for people who don't know, is the top 100. I think it's called the 5-star challenge, and there's something about 100 kids. So 100 kids are 100 kids are supposed to be invited, and overwhelmingly, that's supposed to be the top 94, 95 kids in the current class, so the 2020 recruiting class. Key, when you got your invite, you became one of 5 kids in the nation in the class of 2021 to get an invite. It puts you in contention. It's called the 5-star challenge for a reason.
Yeah.
It puts you in contention for a 5th star. What does it mean to you to get the invite? And I know you don't care a ton about stars, but come on, going from Lebanon, where a year ago you were like, I can't wait to show out at Crescent Valley, to now competing for a chance to earn a 5th star. That's got to mean something to you.
Oh man, it's awesome, you know. Like, it's just really cool to like finally like be recognized now as possibly a potential 5-star athlete, which is crazy. Because growing up, you know, I watch YouTube and I see all these kids. Like, I watched Monroe Live. I grew up like literally last year's Justin Flo. Like, dang, like this kid's serious. Just never thinking that I was gonna be one of those kids, and now I'm here. The sky's the limit now. It's crazy.
We're talking to class of 2021, 4-star linebacker Keith Brown out of Lebanon High School in Oregon. He's rated the number 5 inside linebacker in the country. So you've got a bunch of offers. You're taking a couple trips. I just kind of wanted to give you the floor here for a second. What visits do you have coming up, and who are you hearing from that's new? Everybody knows about Oregon State, and we'll get to them. But of the new schools you're hearing from, give us the list, and then what visits you got coming up.
Yes, sir. So new schools I'm hearing from right now. I'm getting mail from like Alabama, Florida. I'm hearing from LSU a little bit. I've heard from UCLA, obviously USC, and then Boise State, a few other schools like around the West Coast area. And then East Coast wise right now, it's Bama, Florida, and the LSU.
And you've got a couple visits here coming up, some pretty big ones in the next few weeks, few months.
Yeah, so June 7th or June 18th, I'll be at UCLA for unofficial. And then June 19th, I'll be at USC for their, like, off-the-radar camp. Like, they invite, like, 35, 40 kids to it, something like that. I'll be there the 19th. So it'll be 2 days of me down to L.A. It just kind of having some fun.
What do you like about both of those schools right now? Or is it so new the trip is mostly about trying to figure out what you like about both those schools right now?
Yeah, I'll take this trip a little more as I'm really trying to figure out what I like about it. I've heard a lot about USC. You know, they get some dudes down there, so I know that school's gonna have some dudes. UCLA, Chip Kelly. I mean, that's Chip Kelly. Like, that's a legendary coach right there. And so that'll be really good. And actually, Don Pelham coached my head coach in college at Oregon. So that's kind of cool, kind of a small world. Actually, every coach I've heard from the Pac-12 has either been a teammate or coached. Coach, my coach, which is awesome.
That's nice, and not only is it a cool little small world story, but also it's really helpful when you're trying to get recruited because you know he knows enough people that can give you the right advice to put you in the right spot in your recruitment.
Yeah, it's awesome.
If you were to stay in state, and I'm not saying you're going to, we're not even close to that. You're a class of 2021 guy. We're a long way away, but you have offers from Oregon or Oregon State. Do you have a leader right now between those two schools? If you were to stay in state, do you have a preference between one or the other, and why?
Yeah, so right now I would say for me, in state-wise, I would put Oregon as my number one. And that's just because, like, they recruit me really, really hard. And Oregon State does too. But I don't exactly know. Like, Oregon, their recruiting is a little different, obviously. You know, they come at you full speed, flash, and all that. And me being a young kid, you know, that's kind of what draws my attention, you know. But I love Oregon State, though. Like, I love Coach Bray, super amazing guy. Coach Smith. I sat down and talked to him for an hour and a half and never once was a sign or anything. But as of right now, I put Oregon number one. Chris Ball's a great guy. Wilson's amazing. Avalos, last guy, that's a great guy. Coach Joe, big bear hug when you see him. Awesome guy.
What is the biggest difference? And I don't mean for one being positive and the other being negative. Just in general, if you were going to give a summary kind of what Oregon's recruiting approach is like and what Oregon State's approach is like, how would you describe each one? Are you comfortable doing that? And can we start with the Ducks?
Yeah, I'll leave with that. So Oregon's more just kind of like, they really can, like, I think they have a lot of young guys in their staff that I've noticed, and they kind of know how to get the young kids' attention really well. And they kind of hit you with this, like, you know, flash, swag, which is awesome. You know, as a young kid, you're going to love that. And then Oregon State kind of hits you with the more laid-back, like, family feel, which also, as a kid, I mean, you love that feeling too. But, like you get really excited when you're at Oregon stuff. And then Oregon State, I'm not saying it's not exciting, but it's just more laid-back.
Right. I understand that. One of the criticisms with Oregon is that they do the flash thing really well. And then I think naysayers say there is no substance behind it, or the relationships aren't being built there. When I've talked to kids, I've actually heard that there is something behind it. The flash gets the attention, and then there's a building of a relationship with four, five, even six coaches on the staff. Are you in just the flash stage right now, or do you feel like they do a good job of building the relationships too?
The flash stage at Oregon is just when you, like, for me, it was my first unofficial there. That was the flash, you know. And then ever since then, it's been me hearing from every single coach, knows my name there. All of them talk to me. They all ask me how my mom's doing, give her a hug, whatever they see her. And they, like, the flash is like at first, and then they really hit on, like, building a relationship with you and your family. Family first, for sure.
Keith, I am so very proud of you. I'm so excited to see how things are going. I always get the names ahead, you know, when they're freshmen, sophomores. Watch out for this kid. You were a kid that people said right away, watch out for this kid. And it's so cool to see your growth from getting excited about Crescent Valley to now saying, I'm in Atlanta. I'm going to be in LA. It's so different, and it's so exciting. Yeah. And I know you're handling the process the right way and working.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm tremendously proud of you, man, and keep up the good work. Have fun in LA. Have fun in Atlanta. You are jet setting around the country, and I'll try to keep up with you.
For sure. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
All right. Have a good one, man.
You too.
Dude, I like Keith Brown. He's still, and that's the difference, and people will see this, because I love Keith, but it happens to every kid. We'll interview him again in a year or two, and I'm sure we'll talk to him before then, but we'll have him again on the show, and he'll not be as animated, not be as excited, not laugh as much, because I'll be his 40th interview of the week, and he'll just be done with the process. That's what happens with kids. This is what it sounds like when they're kind of new, and it all feels exciting, and he asked to come on the show, and I wanted him on, but he's like, I want to come on the show this week. I was like, definitely, you know, with what he's got going on, that will go away. Because the kids, they don't get, I'm not saying he's going to get jaded, just you get worn down by it. You get worn down by the text messages from coaches and reporters and phone calls. But he's handling it the right way, and I couldn't be happier for him because he's a great kid.
He has this mature, it's a mature and it's an exciting kind of tone to him and kind of energy that I could tell. I like that, man. I like kids who find recruiting and find just football in general, the whole process. I think he's a guy who takes a step back. And really, when I say this, just understands, man, like, you have to think that when it, what, 3 years ago for him, you're watching these guys, you're watching people from Oregon, you see five stars, like you said. I did the exact same thing. I would go watch YouTube, and I was like, man, how crazy would it be to play Division I football. Like, you see those stadiums, you're like, man, how crazy would that be? And now he's in that moment, and he's soaking it up. And like you said, it'll get old for him with, you know, all the interviews, all the coaches texting, everything like that. But, man, I'm telling you, it's guys like him, guys like G. Scott Jr., that just take a step back and just they kind of look at the bigger picture and they really soak it in. And they're not into themselves. They're just more grateful for the opportunities. And I love that about them.
We got to get to Jonathan Smith.
He's on a roll right now.
Criticized for his lack of social media use, or his quote about a lack of social media use, comes on 1080 and says, you know, it's something I need to fix. And now today, he's getting buck with it, man.
Man, he's going crazy.
We got to talk about that next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Summer vacations are near. Whether it's camping, glamping, or staying in a hotel room, one thing that I'm sure of that you're not looking forward to is packing up your CPAP machine. Hey, it's Souk.
And Rob, yep, I had problems sleeping and staying asleep. After way too many pokes in the ribs by my wife about 7 years ago, I went and saw the Sleep Medicine Group. There, I was prescribed with a small oral device I pop in my mouth before I go to bed at night. It's no bigger than a retainer than some of us wore as kids, and 1,000 times better than those knockoff over-the-counter devices.
The process to get one of these things was actually simpler than you might think, and the Sleep Medicine Group took care of all that not-so-fun insurance pre-authorization for me.
First-time patients can usually be seen inside of 2 weeks of making that first appointment. And hey, if you need to get in there sooner, just let them know. They'll do their best to accommodate.
Call 503-255-1200, 503-255-1200, or simply book an appointment online at sleepmedicinegroup.com.
The Biggs Chicken Happy Hour just got a whole lot happier. They're now offering $2 off micro brews, $3 off draft cocktails, and $4 off the big family meal. That's right, it's happy hour for the whole family, 3 to 6 daily, and on Mondays when you need happy hour most of all, it goes all day. Biggs Chicken is comfort food and happy hour without the guilt. On Watson Avenue near Farmington Road in Beaverton.
If you're looking for an affordable, incredible family vacation, there's no more majestic, magical, adventuresome country anywhere like the great Western United States. Hello, I'm Mark Hemstreet, owner of Shiloh Inns. We're Shiloh proud to still be offering 4-star accommodations at affordable 2-star prices where you can enjoy deluxe smoke-free suites, spacious pools, spas, steam and sauna rooms, and fully equipped fitness centers. Enjoy it all, from free Wi-Fi in every room to a free continental breakfast or full hot delicious breakfast at most Shiloh Inns. And unlike the big hotel chains, there are no hidden fees. Even the kids stay free. And Shiloh Inns are dog friendly for your best friend. For reservations, call 800-222-2244 or visit our website at shilohinns.com. Shiloh Inns, affordable excellence. American family owned and proud of it.
From game tapes to junior days to recruiting visits, this is where it happens. Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, featuring Oregon Live and Oregonian recruiting expert Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Jonathan Smith, football coach, Twitter addict?
Football coach by day, Twitter addict by night.
Dude,
he's
up in his game.
I like it, man.
You know what? He's changed his profile picture twice today. That shows you that he's getting involved.
He has to find the right one.
He's got to find, and this one's, he's kind of turned his head to the side, smiling.
Cheesing a little bit, looked like somebody edited a little bit for him.
Straight, I mean, he could be a model for Gap right
exactly.
Now in that photo.
He's killing it, man. H&M, Gap, it doesn't matter.
I liked his response because he had to make a joke out of his first tweet. He either had to announce some news or make a joke because he did get criticized for his lack of use of social media and say, I don't really like to use that as a recruiting tool. Other people said, hey, including on this show, we said, if it's a free tool, you have to use it, especially if it's where the kids are. So he kind of came back and said, and credit to him, he came back and said, I read the quote. It was an accurate quote by the Oregonian's Nick Daschle. He didn't misquote me or take it out of context. And I don't like the way it sounds. I've got to change some things. So, what did he say? Found my password?
Yeah, something like that. Oh, he'd
tweet
yeah,
out.
Found my password.
That found my password. And he's back, and he announces that James Rogers has joined the staff. Good for them, man. They know, and I've said this, it's not even the social media that's the issue. It's that people assume they need to offer first in the Pac-12 because they're last in standings. And so if Cal and Washington State and a couple of others have already offered before Oregon State, high school kids feel like Oregon State is then slow playing them. And you know, that's the reality. That's what I'm hearing from the kids. It's not necessarily what I think. I agree with them because it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what the kids think. If they think it, they're right. And kids are saying Oregon State's been slow playing us. I think Oregon State's aware. I think they know it's more than social media. And listen, if you're aware that you're making mistakes, and I've got to give you a pass. I mean, I've got to say, okay, you get a few months, 4 months, 5 months, where I'm not going to criticize and get it figured out. I'm all for that. I'm all for fairness. And yeah, do I think it was a mistake to use Chris Peterson's Washington strategy at Oregon State with Gary Anderson's recruiting coordinators without using social media? Yeah, there's a whole lot wrong with that sentence and that approach. There is. But if you address it and it becomes clear that, and again, they talk to recruiting people just like I talk to recruiting people. So when I loop back around with these coaches and kids and Oregon State's telling people they're going to fix it, I have no choice but to say, yeah, you get some time to figure it out. I hope they figure it out.
Yeah, I do too. I just like the fact that Coach Smith took responsibility. I think that's something that not every coach will do, especially.
Agreed.
There's a lot of coaches who have too much pride for that.
Can you imagine Gary Anderson a week
Absolutely
after
not.
Saying something like that,
no.
going like, oh, you know what? Didn't sound great. My bad. He wouldn't do that.
He's going to say, we're going to pull up our big boy pants and we're going to be war daddies. That's probably all he would say. But no,
dude,
really.
That's like verbatim, though, like what he would say. You've been around him, haven't you?
That's exactly what he says. But no, it's the fact that Coach Smith is taking responsibility, understanding, okay, this is how you improve as a head coach. This is how I need to improve as a head coach. That's what he's doing. That's something that's, I would say, like I said, not every coach will do that. But it's the fact that he's at least trying and at least making progress. I think that, at least for me, being an Oregon State guy, I take a step back. I'm like, okay, I can kind of breathe out a little bit. Then I'm like, all right, he's not just trying to do it his way. And if it's, you know, if it doesn't work his way, he's not going to, you know, open up his eyes to anything else. I like the fact that he's trying to change.
And like I said, he came in, and I've said this a number of times, he came in and did not have a recruiting plan. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is he didn't make it Oregon State specific. He didn't understand that Oregon State required anything different than what he'd done at Washington. And then he kept Gary Anderson's recruiting guys because he just didn't know what to do or who to hire there. Mm-hmm. And I think as long as you figure it out, and yeah, do I think he should have known before? Sure. But he's a first-time head coach, and first-time head coaches make mistakes.
Yep.
In recruiting, it happens. Sometimes it happens on the field with the offense you run. Sometimes it happens with the defense you run. For Coach Smith, it was his recruiting strategy. His offense is better. He couldn't have done much different with the defensive talent he had. I think he did the best he could. The mistake he made was on recruiting. He wasn't aware of what to do. Now he is. Let's give him some time to figure it out. Oregon State hosting a number of visitors this weekend, some key visitors. I wanted to go over that. Three-star JC defensive end Tavis Shippen is visiting. He is the headliner. He's the number three defensive end in the country for the junior college ranks. Has an offer from Oregon, has an offer from Oregon State. He's visiting. JC cornerback Nashawn Wright is visiting. JC cornerback Justin Harrington is another official visitor. What we're going to see here, especially now, is we're going to see these official visits from the JC guys. They want to lock in some JC talent. I think that's the right way to go on the defensive side of the ball. JC outside linebacker Kyrie Fisher is visiting. A pair of brothers, three-star wide receiver Kane Savage and three-star wide receiver Cassius Savage, both from Anaheim, California, a pair of three-star athlete / receivers are visiting Oregon State this weekend. Three-star athlete Jalen Clark is visiting Oregon State this weekend. Three-star athlete John Humphrey visiting Oregon State. Three-star linebacker Junior Walling, the Oregon kid from McNary. His dad played at Oregon State. He has offers from Oregon State and Utah. I get the feeling that he's going to commit fairly soon. I don't have a great read right now on which it will be, but he just seems like a kid that wants to get the process done early with. We'll see what happens there. I don't expect a commitment this weekend. That's not where I'm going with this. I'm not hinting anything at all. He just seems like a kid. I've asked him through text a couple times. Are you getting close to committing? I'm getting that vibe. He keeps saying no, but I'm getting that vibe. And then four-star wide receiver Zariah Beeson, the commit to Oregon State already. He had an offer from LSU and Florida, chose Oregon State over them. And he said, and you heard Keith Brown in the last interview talk about this, it's a family feel, it's low key. That's what Zariah Beeson wanted. He wanted low-key family feel. He got more family feel and low-key from Oregon State than he did for LSU in Florida. I don't think that's going to work for every kid. You just heard Keith Brown say, I like the flash of Oregon better. But it is going to work for some, and it works for Zariah Beeson. He's visiting. I think that's a great, great sign for Oregon State. You want that kid in the fold. It's an unofficial visit. He's paying his own way. Great sign for the Beavers. And listen, I don't think they're doing a great job right now. I think it's a work in progress, but I do think they're doing a lot better job even than they were doing a month ago, because they're doing some self-reflection and saying, listen, if we finished outside the top 10 in the Pac-12 conference recruiting rankings for 4 or 5 years running, we're doing something wrong. It doesn't matter if we're in Corvallis. Look at baseball, look at basketball, women's basketball. They're getting over the hump. We've got to be doing something different. We've got to try something different. By the way, Oregon State women's basketball landed the number one wing in the entire country.
Let's go.
Sasha Goforth, big time baller, the number one wing in the country. On Prospect Nation, she's a higher rated kid than any of Oregon's five projected five-star recruits. On ESPNW, she'd be fourth in the Pac-12 behind two of Oregon's recruits, Sydney Parrish and Kylie Watson, and Stanford recruit Cameron Brink, who's from Southridge High School, the number three player in the entire country. She's going to Stanford, and spurned is wrong because she didn't blast Oregon or Oregon State, but she's going to Stanford over Oregon and Oregon State. So a great get for the Beavs there.
Yeah, a huge get, but we keep saying this, but let's take a step back. Man, Oregon State women's basketball and Oregon Ducks women's basketball on fire. I'm telling you, man, it's so cool just to sit back and really, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say we have the best women's basketball in the state, as in our state in general, like out of anybody in the country.
Whoa.
I have to. I have to be biased, yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Just UConn by itself?
No.
California?
No. Absolutely not.
I should just name random states.
Maine, what are you talking about?
Montana.
Hey, come on, Delaware. What are you doing?
Delaware. You forgot Delaware.
No, I just think it's really cool. I think both coaches are doing, you know, just something great, man. They're great at coaching, obviously, because they've had success on the court. Off the court, they have success, but they connect with these ladies so well. It's just the fact that the recruiting is so high right now for both teams, and their success is so high. And I feel like it's going to be like that for a long time. And, can we ask for anything better?
No, it's great.
It's absolutely great.
It's phenomenal.
Absolutely phenomenal. It's almost as good as Delaware basketball.
Absolutely phenomenal and better than Delaware basketball.
Almost.
Take it easy.
Not there yet, but it's almost as good as Delaware basketball.
You're on a five-minute timeout. The good news is that 5 minutes is going to be during the break.
Let's do it.
We'll be back to wrap up the show, recruiting with Andrew Nimick on 1080 The Fan.
From five stars to unknown prospects, we cover them all. From Oregon Live, this is Recruiting with Andrew Nimick on 1080 The Fan.
Today was the anniversary of D-Day, and sometimes these things have a way of making you reflect on family or life or loved ones who've passed on. And my grandpa was not at D-Day. He was in the Battle of the Bulge, but it made me think of him today. And his story is wild. He was a wild guy. And when I look back at, and a good person, a wonderful person, when I look back at what I've been able to do, and not that I've been able to do some great thing, but I've been able to do what I love and write and talk about sports, specifically football. I love that. And if he wouldn't have made some of the sacrifices he made in his life, I never would have had that opportunity. He grew up in the Italian neighborhood in Chicago when the mafia was running smooth, and his older brothers were in the mob, and he was the little brother, and they told the other mobsters to stay away from my grandpa. They kind of said, listen, he's going to be the one that makes it out. We want him to make it out. He built a clarinet out of spare body parts.
I was like, whoa.
The mob is serious. Out of spare parts. He paid for some he found, he said, in a garbage, but he did have a little bit of embellishment going on later in his life. Sat in on a friend's lesson, learned to play the clarinet, became so good at it that he was getting paid more than his father made when he was in high school. His father thought that he was doing working for organized crime because he was bringing home so much money. So his dad took a day off and went and sat and listened to him play one time just to make sure he didn't start working for the mafia. Story's just incredible. Fought in the Battle of the Bulge and lived. He has amazing stories of the old neighborhood. You know, he'll just tell a story. He'll be talking and he'll say, he used to say stuff like, you know, and then that's the time I went and hung out with Johnny Apes. And I said, "Who's Johnny Apes, Grandpa?" And he said, "Oh yeah, we called him Johnny Apes because he was the best second story man." And I said, I have no idea what a second story man is. He said, "You know, a second story man. A second story man's the guy that's best at climbing quietly up the outside of a house, getting into the window on the second story and robbing you and getting out without getting caught." Like, whoa, what? Why are you hanging out with Johnny Apes?
Why are you hanging out with him?
Tell Johnny Apes to peace out, Grandpa. That's probably not good. He got in a fight in the fourth grade with, I forget the guy's first name, but his last name was Monteleone, which meant mountain lion. That guy ended up running the mafia. So my grandpa was always really afraid that he would like come back and get him because he'd punched him in the nose and gave him a bloody nose in like the fourth grade. Just, he has just incredible stories of different people in the neighborhood. They used to have a rule in his neighborhood where if the oldest kid got in a fight with the youngest kid in the neighborhood, the mafia wouldn't step in if you went into their house. So if the oldest son fought a younger son of another family, the other family, the family of the kid who got beat up, were allowed to go and trash the other family's house. And the mafia wouldn't step in, would step in if you fought against it. It's like you don't have older kids beat up younger kids. So the mafia would let you destroy some of the other people's property. Just wild stories growing up. And it just made me think of that today. And Johnny Apes and Monteleone. And he dated a girl named Angelina Quattrochi, which is four eyes in Italian. Just a fascinating, fascinating childhood. He used to sell papers outside of Comiskey Park. And then right around the sixth or seventh inning, he would always run for it to go in and sneak in and get into the games. Just a fascinating guy. And I, you know, I never share his stories. I never share stories about my grandparents. And I think my grandpa and Johnny Apes and Monteleone is an all-timer. He's got some great mafia, old mafia stories from the neighborhood.
Yeah, man. I don't have any cool stories like that. He has certainly the cooler stories, but man, just imagine, I couldn't even imagine, like, I mean, obviously I have the utmost respect for anyone who served in the military, but I couldn't even imagine, man.
So the Battle of the Bulge is called that because the line got broken and it created that bulge. He was in that bulge and he actually, the troops actually went over him, like past him. So he was in enemy territory and he hid until they retreated and he got back on his side of the line. He got caught behind it. He called it the bulge thingy. I was in the bulge thingy. Just a fascinating guy. So Grandpa, thank you for giving me the opportunity for getting out of a bad neighborhood and doing everything you could to give me the life I have now. I love you. I will always remember you. That's it. Recruiting with Andrew Nimick. We'll be back next week. Appreciate you.
Thanks for joining us for Recruiting with Andrew Nimick, the show for college recruiting fans with the inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. Read Andrew's latest recruiting news in the Oregonian and Oregon Live, and listen for Andrew's updates throughout the week here on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
The Fan 411.
Go to 1080thefan.com for your chance to win tickets to the Les Schwab Tires Bowl presented by Express Employment Professionals, Oregon's all-star football game, Saturday, June.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.